by worship of Vasa Dev, one can be fixed in Krishna consciousness, and for that matter, the Vasa Dev state is Krishna consciousness. We heard that that term also appears in Bhagavad Gita as Kshetra Gya, so living at the end, the super soul, or Kshetra Gya, and Adbhuta, a term from Bhagavad Gita. These are different terms indicating different aspects of the same thing, pure consciousness. Manifesting in the Mahatattva. Doesn't say from the Mahatattva. Manifests in the Mahatattva. And now we're going to hear about that citta, pure state of consciousness, becoming adulterated, mixed with other things. It's a metaphor, a comparison with water, like rainwater, and if the qualities of water are compared to the qualities of this pure consciousness. Svachatvam, the quality of clarity. All these things that we've got sound really nice, like we like clarity, svachatvam. Avikaratvam. Avikara means change, vikara, avikaratvam, where the mind or when consciousness is free from distraction. When we're chanting japa, to be free from distraction, Ravindra Sarupakul has this nice phrase. Distraction, distracted by the distractions of distraction. Meaning, like when you try to become very focused, undistracted, there's always something. Always something, 10 somethings. And so you really try, it's like layers of an onion. You peel that one away. I'm going to be very focused, undistracted, full attention. And then you pay attention to paying full attention rather than paying attention. And then it's just distracted by distractions of distraction. So the state of Vasudeva or Shuddhasattva is avikaratvam. It's distinct, in other words, the matter, because Vikaram says it's position. You read in that nice verse, chapter 13, text 6 and 7, where the field of activities, kshetra, just before the kshetra, gya, the field of activities, it lists the 24 elements, and then it lists things that come about from the vikaram, the interaction of those 24 elements, like feelings, happiness and distress. You know that. It's just matter interacting with matter. And if we identify it and identify with it, that's false ego, through that medium of false ego, then we feel this or that. Emotion. Honor, dishonor, happiness and distress, plenty of pain. There's pain in my knee. Went to the hospital yesterday to get an x-ray to see that there's something broken. There's nothing broken. So they gave me some tablets to make the swelling go down. So the pain is there. It's a real thing. But that's not me. To the extent that I identify with the thing that's not me, then unhappiness. But so there's material. It's consciousness pervades the body. We hear this in Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? So that's what's being spoken about. Consciousness that in its natural state is, there's clarity. There's freedom from distraction. So here's a cause of distraction. And so many other things are causes of distraction. But original consciousness is free from that. And shantatvam, serenity, you know, peace. Everyone wants it. But we're busy over there and over there and over there. Not with Krishna. And that Vasudeva state of consciousness. Iti chetasaha. So now it becomes chitta in a different, I don't know the grammatical detail, but chitta becomes chetasa of consciousness. Viti bihi, it has these characteristics. So as the verse is describing, lakshanam proktam. These are adjectives or qualifiers of this chitta, so we know what it is. And then a comparison is made, tata. Yata tata. As this, so that. So tata, water, upon prakriti in its natural state is para, it's pure. Look at the text 22. After the manifestation of the Mahatattva, these features appear simultaneously. These features just described. These features appear simultaneously as water in its natural state before coming in contact with earth is clear, sweet, and unruffled. So the characteristic traits of pure consciousness are complete serenity, clarity, and freedom from distraction. Take, take. Time passes and then the show begins. Report, the pure status of consciousness or Krishna consciousness exists in the beginning. And he says the same thing at the end. In the beginning, consciousness is pure. So then here's the middle. Just after creation, consciousness is not polluted. The more one becomes materially contaminated, however, the more consciousness becomes obscured. Interesting sentence. In pure consciousness, one can perceive a slight reflection of the Supreme Personality of God. It's like the dawn or the beginning of, it's like the rising of the sun. Before you see the sun, it's night, and the sun is rising. Before you see the sun, you see the light of the sun. Yes? That's what's being spoken here. And as pure consciousness continues in its uncontaminated state, for such great souls that have that, then one can directly perceive. Just like the the form of Shamasundra can be perceived when Anjana, so I mentioned this yesterday, I think, day before. Anjana means ointment, or salve, and the salve is bhava, and the eye, this is Jiva Goswami, and the eye is the eye of the soul. So when the soul attains the state of bhava, then we can see. And you see not with these eyes, but with the eye of the soul. not exactly like the inner eye and all those mystical things. It's the soul sees Krishna. So that's what's being described here also, this Vasudeva state, where one can perceive a slight reflection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As in clear, unagitated water, free from impurities, one can see everything clearly. So in pure consciousness or Krishna consciousness, one can see things as they are. Clearly. One can see the reflection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And one can see his own existence as well. This state of consciousness is very pleasing, transparent, and sober. In the beginning, consciousness is pure. So like this discussion yesterday, that the two temple devotees were really animated about how the living entity becomes covered. Here it is. They're out here. Mm-hmm. When you see them again, you can refer them. And I'm going to read a little bit, some commentary, compliments of Guru Jan, some commentary by Sridhar Swami on this, and compliments of Bhana Swami, some commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Because it's an important subject. It's one of those, it can go on forever without resolution if you don't have the lens of our acharyas to guide you. The mind can't figure it out. Nice strong, but you can't figure it out. Okay, so now text 23 and 24. From the state of citta, pure consciousness or vasudeva consciousness, the material ego springs up from the mahatattva. This isn't necessarily a chronological description here. Like, first this, then that. Our linear brains like to do those kinds of things. And it's not necessarily like that. Mahatattva is also there. Material ego. Mahatattva, the Kurvanat. The Mahatattva is undergoing this constant change. Bhagavad Virya Sambhava evolved from the Lord's own energy. Kriya Shakti. Ahamkara. Trividha. Ahamkara, three different types. Take a pick. A combination. Mix them. But you gotta get one. You can have material existence, you gotta have false ego. Sampadyata sprang up. So, remember the prior events are the glance of Mahavishnu that we heard, and the glance Shambhu carries time, the living entities. And I invite you to read carefully Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's purport, where he says the time energy has multiple parts, two prominent parts, Kriya Shakti and Ichha Shakti. The power, the force of activity, Kriya Shakti. And the force of, he uses different terms, determination, Ichha Shakti. It's the Lord's Ichha Shakti, or even more specifically, it's Rama Devi's potency, because it's her time potency, and it has these subdivisions. And it's right in this verse. That's Brahma Samhita. Here's Srimad Bhagavatam, and imagine. No surprise. Kriya Shakti, force of activity. It's a sub energy of the time energy. The living entities don't have bodies yet. The bodies are assembled by Lord Brahma. That's his part. But the energy is already there. Anumara gets that. Here's your body. Go. So they can't do anything independently. They're depending upon these potencies to try to enjoy or the higher position, seeking the ultimate happiness of the living being, or somewhere in between with the modes of nature functioning. There's free will that's operative, and that's what's in this purport. Same as the discussion we had yesterday about how does it happen, living entities get entangled. How does pure consciousness become contaminated? Free will. Why? No good reason. It's quite unreasonable. It's really dumb. But we exercise our free will in that way. So, the material, back to the verse, the material ego springs up from the Mahatattva, which evolved from the Lord's own energy. The material ego is endowed predominantly with the active power of three kinds. It's a nice way of describing the modes of nature. The active power of three kinds: good, passionate, and ignorant. It is from these three types of material ego that the mind falls ego in contact with goodness, mind, the senses of perception, the organs of action, and the gross elements evolve. That's Thomas, as it described intelligence here in this verse. Purport, two paragraphs. In the beginning, from clear consciousness, or the pure state of Krishna consciousness, the first contamination sprang up. This is called false ego, or identification of the body as self. Because there's no bodies yet, so it's just identification with dravya, matter. And then there's the particular one that we get, the particular body. But it's the principle of misidentification with dravya, with the material elements. And then, you know, the senses and the objects of the senses. The living entity exists in the natural state of Krishna consciousness. He said it like 10 times so far. But he has marginal independence, and this allows him to forget Krishna. Originally, pure Krishna consciousness exists 11 times. But because of misuse of marginal independence, there is a chance of forgetting Krishna. This is exhibited in actual life, semicolon. There are many instances in which someone acting in Krishna consciousness suddenly changes. In the Upanishads, it is stated, therefore, that the path of spiritual realization is just like a sharp edge of a razor. Apparently there are razors in Vedic times too. The example is very appropriate. One shaves his cheeks with a sharp razor very nicely, but as soon as his inattention, there it is, distraction, inattention, is diverted from the activity of serving Krishna. He's in this atmosphere where there's all these energies, dravya shakti, ahamkara, and you know, rampa room, like a child in a playground. Look at that toy, look at that one, whoa. Right? He immediately cuts his cheek because he mishandles the razor. Paragraph. Not only must one come to the stage of pure Krishna consciousness, but one must also be very careful. Any inattentiveness or carelessness may cause fall down. This fall down is due to false ego. From the status of pure consciousness, the false ego is born because of misuse of independence. But it sounds like false ego is the cause. We can blame it on false ego. But we get a false ego because of misuse of independence. That's the primordial guru. We just have this intrinsic to the soul capacity of free will because we're part and parcel of the Supreme who has unlimited free will. We have tiny free will. You can't get rid of it. It's just part of the soul. And then you can use it properly or not, and it's misused. Here's false ego. And what's your favorite variety? Chocolate, vanilla, or strawberry. Here it is. You can't make some through false ego, then all the other, you know, elements of senses. And here we go. We cannot argue about why false ego arises from pure consciousness. Factually, there is always the chance that this will happen, and therefore one has to be very careful. So somebody wants to argue with you, like that one of those fellows wanted to go yesterday. But how is it possible? Because don't go there. We can't. We cannot argue why misuse of free will. False ego is the basic principle for all material activities which are executed in the modes of material nature. As soon as one deviates from pure Krishna consciousness, he increases his entanglement in material reaction. Last sentence. The entanglement of materialism is the material mind, it's like the byproduct. And from this material mind, the senses and material organs become manifest. Now, real quickly, because I have a schedule that's different than the other days, and I have to go to the airport this morning, heading for Mayapur. So I'm going to read Gaurichand's Under His Lotus Feet. That's his kind of, you know, gloss of these of the first three cantos of the Bhagavatam, based on his studies and the writings of the Acharyas and Prabhupada's purports, and this kind of blends it very nicely. So I'm just going to read it. I'll go back to text 21, yesterday's verses. In naming the elements manifesting in the Mahatattva, text 21 first describes chitta, consciousness, parentheses, one of the four subtle senses, mind, intelligence, ego, and chitta, explaining that it is made primarily of sattva-guna, that is, consciousness that perceives and worships Lord Vasudeva. In this consciousness, as this consciousness is meant to worship Vasudeva, it can also be called Vasudeva. Its characteristics, prior even to the manifestation of false ego, are those of pure consciousness. From this verse, complete serenity, clarity, and freedom from distraction. Paragraph. This consciousness, although pure, is nevertheless composed of material goodness, sattva-guna, the, quote, shadow of pure consciousness, unquote. Thus, through it, one can both perceive oneself as an eternal soul and see Vasudeva, Krishna, existing everywhere through his energies. As Srila Prabhupada notes in his purport to text 22, quote, in pure consciousness, one can perceive a slight reflection of the Supreme Personality of God. So he's taking some liberty here of saying the slight refraction of the Personality of God, like the rising of the sun at dawn before the sun comes on the horizon, is this capacity to see the elements coming from their source of emanation, Krishna. So the elements have a connection with Krishna. Like here we're sitting in this room, and there's a ping pong table, and there's a table on the floor, and walls, and windows, and it's energy. When this mode of goodness, when we can see through the lens of knowledge, when we can see things in relation to Krishna, somebody again. Although we haven't yet seen the form of Krishna, we can see Krishna's presence through his energies. Next paragraph. Later, the Bhagavatam, chapter 27, text 12 of this canto, will describe the perception of the Lord reflected in one's own pure consciousness. Quote, the presence of the Supreme Lord can be realized just as the sun is realized first as a reflection on water, and again as a second reflection on the wall of a room, although the sun itself is situated in the sky. Before you may see the sun in the sky, you may see this reflection, that reflection. As a result of pure consciousness, one may see that. In this example, the sun is the Lord. The sun's reflection on water in a pot is the perception of the Lord's, of the Lord in pure consciousness, and the reflection of the reflection, that is the sun's reflection from the water pot reflected onto the wall, is gross matter. In his purport to this text, that's chapter 27, text 12, Srila Prabhupada explains, quote, the sun is situated in the sky far, far away from the surface of the earth, but its reflection can be seen in a pot of water, in the corner of the room. The room is dark, and the sun is far away in the sky. If the sun's reflection on the water illuminates the darkness of the room, a pure devotee can realize the presence of the Supreme Personality Godhead in everything by the reflection of his energy. It's a little subtle, so maybe, like, anyway, I'll just keep going. That realization on the clear water of purified consciousness is called Vasudeva, or realization of the all-pervading Lord, comma, a realization of the Bhagavad Gita, 7.19, called Vasudeva Sarvaviti. The perception of the Supreme Lord is the cause of all causes and all that is. You know the verse. Paragraph. Prabhupada explains in his purport to text 22, as in clear, unagitated water, free from impurities, one can see everything clearly, so in pure consciousness and Krishna consciousness, one can see things as they are. One can see the reflection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can see his own existence as well. This state of consciousness is very pleasing, transparent, and sober. In the beginning, consciousness is pure. Paragraph, and he goes back. Sridhar Swami's commentary on the previous text in this one. In his commentary on text 21, Sridhar Swami states that text 21 refers to worship of the Chaturvyuha, which is celebrated in the Vedic Agamas, when that same substance is named as the source of the material elements. It is called Mahat. And as personal self is called Chitta, and as something to be worshipped, it is called Vasudeva, whose presiding deity is the Kshatriya Supersoul. I don't know exactly what that sentence means. This is Sridhar Swami's commentary. So, there are different features of the Supreme. He's the source of the Mahatattva. So he's the Mahapurusha. And when he's the state of consciousness, both individual and the supreme consciousness, there's nothing chitta or the Vasudeva state. He's the presiding deity as well as the knower. So we're the Kshatriya, and Krishna's also Sarva Kshetrishu. Both are conscious, one is tiny, one is unlimited. He, the super soul, is the presiding deity of the individual soul that's in pure consciousness, that's just being said. In this commentary on text 22, Sridhar Swami calls svachatvam, or clarity, a characteristic of pure consciousness. Quoting from his commentary, perfect transparency, svachatvam, means the state of holding the reflection or shadow of Bhagavan. Jiva Goswami concurs. He's commenting also on this verse. Consciousness, that's, you know, abhas, conscious and consciousness. Consciousness can perceive, quote, a portion or shadow of the Lord. Saint Prabhupada says the same thing. Prabhupada's statements are based on the commentary of Sridhar Swami and Jiva Goswami. It's in this Vasa, so what's being spoken? This Vasudeva state permits, it facilitates the beginning perception of the personality of Godhead, that even in matter, he can be understood, his presence can be understood. What happens when consciousness becomes contaminated? Well, we don't see that. We just see it's up for grabs. There is some chunk of material energy out there and doesn't have anybody's name on it. We try to make it mine. We don't see Krishna there because of contaminated consciousness. But in the pure state of consciousness, one can see properly. Last paragraph. Thus, by pure consciousness, which allows one to see the, quote, slight reflection of the Lord in matter, one can gradually perceive him still more fully as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. Quote, when the mind is fixed on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in this external feature made of the material modes of nature, it is brought to the platform of pure goodness. In that transcendental position, one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, who in this subtler form is self-effulgent and beyond the modes of nature. Oh my Lord, please describe vividly how that form which covers the entire universe is perceived. This is a quote from the fifth canto, chapter 16. But there's symmetry, in other words, the message of the Bhagavatam is consistent. And it's this little, delicate, bewildering subject matter. As I said, Prabhupada in discussions with Sri Damodar Maharaj said it's complex. It's subtle. But you know how the living entity becomes covered, or say, you know, from a mechanistic science point of view, matter doesn't create consciousness. Matter doesn't create life. Consciousness is primordial, and matter is primordial, and they may mix. And here's the mixing. And so the operative principle is exercise of free will. And when exercise of free will goes this way, there's one result, and that way is another result. Now, even if the exercise of free will is towards Krishna, mercy is still required because the material energy is under his control and Krishna can remove that influence. It's not just our free will, that's it. We're not independent. It's or dependent. So the effort and mercy both are required. So the devotee's part of bhakti is praying for mercy or feeling in a humble state of mind the necessity of mercy. And it's not imaginary or it's not pretense. We require mercy. We require effort and we require mercy. And all of this summed up again, just to end with this, all of this samband again has a purpose. What's that? The purpose is to establish the ground for the spiritual conception that distinguishes how we've been operating for who knows how many lifetimes and billions of years in material conception of life. Material conception of life is there's no Krishna. The spiritual conception of life, there is Krishna. And if there is Krishna, how does it work? How do we look at matter to see Krishna? How do we look at each other and see Krishna? How do we look at Krishna and see Krishna? Because there are some persons who looked at Krishna and saw an enemy. Kalyana, Jarasandha, Kamsa. They saw Krishna. And they didn't go, oh, I worship you. They saw something else, you're an enemy. Or the wrestlers, they saw death personified, etc. So how we regard Krishna with the proper conception determines what we're going to see. And then there is, even you know, prior to that, there's matter. Even if you're not trying to see Krishna, you certainly see matter. And how do you see it? Well, if you're in material consciousness, you see it as a facility for your enjoyment. That's what it is. And depending upon your favorite mode of nature, you'll see it this way or that way. You know, like, you're a developer. You just look at the bank loan and you go, wow, this is a great opportunity to make money. Or you're an IT person. You think, oh, this is a good place to get a job. And anyway, it's depending upon the person and the modes of nature and the karma. The endless variety of transformations of matter manifest themselves in a bewildering way because of this influence of false ego, which arises from misuse of free will. So that tells us the intention will determine where your attention will go. We're sadhakas. We're not there yet. We're not at the stage of love of God. But we know, in principle, with faith, this seed, bhakti lata bija, says these scriptures, these devotional teachings, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, given by our awesome disciplic succession, I have faith in them. They will take me to this state of pure consciousness where there's clarity and freedom from distraction and tranquility and peacefulness. And then I can be better servant for the world in which we live. I'll be happy and can make others happy. So there's an intrinsic faith, although I'm not there yet. So there's a sadhana of following and then the evolving of that pure state of consciousness or the cleansing of the consciousness to leave the Vishuddha Sattva stage or the Vasudeva state, etc. But then there's this affinity for matter thing that holds us so we don't advance so quickly. So therefore the process is gradual. Okay, so any comments or questions? Yes.
Question regarding your yesterday's class.
Okay.
USA might be like that. I was sending the Babylon Gate. She asked the question, why creation?
Yes.
What was your answer to that?
I just repeated those two purposes. One is a facility for living entities to try to enjoy separately from Krishna, which cannot happen, and therefore it's illusory energy. That's where the creation is. It's Maya. But there's another purpose, which is to provide the facility for the living entities to restore their natural consciousness. They experience their complete state of happiness. It's built into the system, both. Generally, people are distracted when they go for the first one. But the twofold purpose. Prabhupada explained the same thing this way. What's the purpose of the prison house? Twofold. House of detention and house of correction. So they euphemistically sometimes call prisons correctional institutions. Good luck. But you know, that's the higher intention. So people that they're going to go harming others in society, you don't put them out of existence, you put them in prison. They can live in the prison, so they don't hurt people. And, you know, minimize their hurting themselves. Prison. That's the purpose of creation. And then correction. The tendency of the living entity to become situated in goodness, transcendence. So along with this, Krishna says it in chapter 3, Bhagavad Gita, at the beginning of creation, I send forth generations of men and demigods with this blessing. May thou become perfect through sacrifice. No, I don't want to sacrifice. I don't want joy. Free will. There's both purposes.
Process is very difficult.
I didn't hear it's so difficult. It's subtle.
Yeah, it's subtle, but at pure consciousness level also, there is a chance of falling.
Oh, there's a chance of falling. All that is saying is free will is operative at every stage of existence. That's all that's saying. You may, wherever you may be on the scale of spiritual evolution, your spiritual trajectory may be, wherever it may be, free will is always there. That's all it's saying. If you're inattentive, you have a sharp instrument. Go ahead.
Is there any hope for us?
Yeah.
There are so many distractions.
Use your razor attentively, that's all. You have a nice shaven face. Now use your razor attentively. Use the razor of this spiritual wisdom. Not casually. Don't become complacent. Oh, okay. My miseries have diminished. Kick back. Relax. Be very attentive. Always remain attentive. It's like this. We need association with devotees, sadhu sangha, in order to progress. But when we're with sadhus, we can make offense. So what should we do? Avoid sadhus so we don't make offense. Or take sadhu sangha and be very careful. Here, if it's a flag. Is there hope for us? Sure, be careful. I'm imperfect. Yes. When there's an unintentional mistake, Krishna overlooks that and corrects the situation. Okay. That's the hope. Krishna is very kind. That's the hope. Yes.
Maharaj, I have one question. See, there is a person who is totally materialistic and he doesn't have faith on the Supreme Personality of God and he doesn't accept.
Sure.
That is one situation. And another situation, who is enemy towards the Lord, just like Shishupala and all others.
Yes.
But we hear that the Lord showers His mercy on these people who are inimical also, and liberates them. So, who's in a better situation?
The devotee is in a better situation. But better to be Shishupal and Kamsa than the other one. Why? Because when Krishna becomes the object of your intention, good fortune comes to you. Because he's all pure. It's not advocating that one.
Okay.
The advocacy is become a devotee. But of the two, taking that option, better not the dull consciousness. Better Krishna consciousness. Even if it's not devotional Krishna consciousness. Constant consciousness is better.
Just follow up to that. Sometimes you find these devotees, Shishupal, like this enemies, Shishupal and Kamsa, they torture the devotees of the Lord.
Yes.
So, is that like one side, like one person is not accepting Supreme Personality of Godhead, other side is enemy torturing the devotees of the Lord?
So, well, the good news is that Krishna protects the devotees even when they become the object of torture. Of course, so much depends upon the faith of the devotee. But when there's difficulty, like in China, there are people that, without going into it too much, it's difficult to be out overtly, or in the Middle East countries. Without going into detail, it's more difficult than for you here. So now, there may be fewer devotees because of that. But those devotees that are devotees, they're devotees. Because it's deep in their heart. And they very, very, very much value and cherish the association of devotees. It's not taken casually. So, obstacle can be an impetus for intensity of devotion. I got a pain in my knee. It's not like, it's that somebody's harassed me, but your nature has. And I'm doing what I need to do to take care of the pain in my knee, but it's reminding me, this isn't the place of happiness. And there's a real place of happiness. It's reminding me of that. And all of this, whatever it is, happiness, in a moment it's misery, and then in another moment it's gone. So I don't want to take shelter there. I'll do the needful, and I'm going to find another shelter. It's impetus for a shelter of Krishna.
My question was, I didn't put it for the question properly. The person who doesn't believe in Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Speak slowly.
Yeah. The person who does not believe in Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he doesn't do any wrong things to the devotees. He doesn't hurt the devotee or the thoughts of the devotee.
Okay.
And there's an enemy of the Lord. But who does all these kinds of torturing the devotees?
So he gets more mercy. That's your point? It's not just torturing devotees. Like, let's say when I was in Sri Lanka, I spent some time with Venkatapatta's descendant.
Murli Bhatta.
Murli Bhatta. And we were just walking and he was describing a period of time when I forget who it was. Some ruling, invading armies killed many Sri Vaishnavas by the thousands. Now they don't get Krishna's mercy for that. It's not just because they tortured devotees or killed them. It happened. One could say, well, wait a minute, they're devotees, what happened? How come Lord Narayan didn't come and smash these demons. That's another question. But it's not that, to answer your question, it's not that because they did that, they got some special mercy from Krishna. The opposite. The darkest regions of hell are their destiny, and for who knows how long. But it's not a one-to-one correlation between torturing and getting mercy. Does that answer your question? Yeah.
Maharaj, you said from a person's intention comes where his attention goes.
Yes, correct.
So I just want to understand, like, how does one person's intention come in the first place? Like,
it's a combination of hearing, that means association, and through association hearing, what is the most valuable goal or intention or purpose? What's the purpose of human life? Supposing somebody doesn't have that association, and they just ask themselves that question, and it's speculation, and they'll come up with something other than what is really the self-interest. You know, Shreya Uttama, Jigyasu Shreya Uttama, Tasmat Rupa Padyeta, Jigyasu Shreya Uttama. So when someone through association receives that ultimate Uttama benefit of a living entity, that may become their intention if they receive it properly. And then, pursuing that or cultivating, like this discussion yesterday about, you know, the Abbot question. But we're down over here. And so how do we get there? Continue to practice. So that's where attention goes. We need sadhu sangha. Just as that discussion at the temple for 2 days. We need it. And not only, you know, the beginning stage and thanks very much for later. Through every phase of Krishna consciousness and the unfolding of bhakti, we need sadhu sangha. To keep us protected, keep us guided, keep us on the middle of the road, not heading for the ditch. By sentiment, by laxity, by whatever. In the influence of the stick that's broken, staying bunched together. We need sadhu sangha throughout. And there is with that, I have my material contamination and I have a tendency to see others. I see the spots of the moon instead of the moon. The benediction of the rays of the moon. I see the defects of this Prabhu and that Prabhu, and this Mataji and this person, and, you know, and then I start making offenses, in the mind, and then in my words, and then in my actions. So we have to be careful with that razor. But so the intention needs to be properly guided also. That's why we need teachers to guide us. And it's not a mechanical thing. You know, it's not like, okay, thanks teacher. It's not impersonal. It's, you know, there's a relationship where those persons from whom I'm receiving Krishna's message, guidance in applying Krishna's message, Vedic culture is, that's highly valued. I'll say this, just to like to amplify that last point. There's some advantage in being a sannyasi. There's a number of advantages. And one of them is, as I travel from place to place, and I go back to that place again later, and then go to other places and come back again later, I've noticed over 45 years of devotional service that some devotees that advance very quickly, there's something common that's shared by those that advance quickly and those that don't. And one of those elements is the relationship that they have with those that are guiding them is very strong. I can say, I can't think of any exception to that. the relationship, not just teens, thank you very much, see you later, but relationship with the teacher helps take the teachings to heart in such a way that the mercy of Krishna flows into one's life. We're like, you know, how does it work in the material world? Maybe some of you may remember who your third grade teacher was, but likely we don't, because there wasn't any relationships. The Vedic culture is the guru, the teacher, lives with the student. The boy goes to live in the ashram of the guru, and throughout from the age of 5 till he's an adult, there's that relationship, like with the parent, only this is the teacher relationship. And it's a very, very, very significant relationship. We don't have that today. We have just have, you know, take some knowledge and see you later. It's very, very dry and personal, and not the kind of, it's information, not transformation. Bad. It doesn't need to, that's bad in a sense, it doesn't lead to spiritual elevation. So, sadhu sangha, it's sustaining. Like that thing that I shared 2 evenings ago, what has sustained me in my Krishna consciousness through all these years is the sense of gratitude. And it certainly has grown, it's not immature, it's a mature, very, very deep and profound, compelling my whole life. No problem. Pain in the knee and everything else. No problem. For that higher happiness and the sense of love and relationship with my spiritual master. And through him, some growing affinity and attachment and love for Krishna, who he wants to give me. That's the intention that then helps to focus attention. That's how we know we have it right. You just, the teachings and the teacher and our great awesome acharyas and align them properly. And then I go inside, and then things start to happen. Transformation starts to happen. I'm going to have to end because the airplane is going to